Well, isn't God good tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Tell you what, we're so blessed. We're so blessed to be able to hear the precious word of the Lord in our day. There's so many false messages, so many false reports going out. Aren't you glad for the truth?
Amen.
Embrace the truth. We want to do that, don't we? Embrace it with all of our heart. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them at the house of God tonight. Yes, now God is so good. Our God is so good. The Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. We'll remember Brother Richard Baker, his family in prayer tonight. Brother Baker's sister passed away last night. We'll remember him and his family during this time of their loss. There will not be a service as she donated her body for research. But let's continue to pray for those folks as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of them. We want to pray for Brother Ben Davis, who has a virus, unable to be in this service tonight. So we want to remember Brother Ben in prayer, that the Lord would be with him. We want to pray, continue to remember Brother Frank Williams in prayer, still sick. Sister Connie Cook requesting prayer, have a lot of pain in her lower back. She's asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Brother Stockton's grandchildren concerning legal matters. The Lord knows all about that. We're just committed unto the Lord. I want to remember Michael Harra tonight. He is homesick with a fever, flu symptoms. Let's pray that the Lord would be with him tonight. Also, Brother Mike Pierce took a fall last night, hit his head, and been suffering with a headache since then. So we want to remember him in prayer. Also, Brother Pat Madley in Florida sends in a prayer request. We just commit that unto the Lord tonight, that God would be mindful of that situation. Sister Joanne Tessa wants to thank the Lord. Her heart catheterization test came back really good, and she wants to thank all the brothers and sisters for their prayers. Says, I love you all. Well, we just appreciate God and what He's doing for us. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know there's many needs among us, but we also know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems. You believe that with all your heart? I believe it more than I believe I'm standing here, that God is bigger than whatever our problems are tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. If you love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. We believe that tonight, Lord. Amen. God is so good. Could we just sing that one more time just before we pray tonight? Yes, our God is so good. Our God is so good. Jimmy Babb, would you come tonight if you wouldn't mind? Come and pray. We'll join our brother in prayer. Let's invite the presence of our Lord to be in this service tonight and commit all these needs unto our Heavenly Father. Brother Jimmy, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight as each one of us can testify that we stand here as recipients of your amazing grace, recipients of your extended mercy that will go through eternity. And for that, we give thanks tonight and thank you for the leadership that you've given us in our lives, Lord, in helping us in every avenue and every matter that we endeavor. There's many needs that's been read here tonight, Lord. There's many needs that weren't read that I know that's existing of people standing inside these pews. Every family, every individual has needs in their lives, whether it be healing for their body, healing for their minds. Lord, whether it be for family matters, you're the God of all things, Lord. And we come to you tonight with grateful hearts, Lord, in humility, that how you could come and descend from your greatness and come down and be part of us in our walk, in our life. We give you thanks tonight, Father. We pray that you'll bless every need, every home, every family. And we thank you, Lord, for the services that we're having, for your word. I'm reminded that several weeks ago, Brother Donnie said that we're getting a lot of information, and it's wonderful information. But it's very important that we have a formation of that word in our lives. And we pray tonight that you will let the formation of Christ Jesus, how to love like Christ Jesus, how to forgive, how to live our life before others. I pray, dear God, that you will help us. Go with us through this service tonight. We're gathered here for your glory and for your honor. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming the services, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. And he alone could minister to the need that I had. How about you? Did you have a need? We all had needs. Aren't you glad he was big enough to do something about it? I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, of you the cross where Jesus died for me. Church. Aren't you glad about it? Hallelujah! And
when he saw my need.
Everything tonight, Brother Terry. He owes me absolutely nothing, but I owe him every breath I take. I owe it to him. Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Oh, your heart. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, let's sing. Until then, my heart will go on singing. So until then, oh, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, oh, with joy, we're gonna carry on until the day mine eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This old troubled world, it's not our final home, but until then, oh, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until. its toils and struggles may take its toll of misery and strife. But the soul of a man, it's like a wave gold. When it's released, Brother Terry, we're heading for the sky. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy, we're gonna carry on until the day.
Amen. I want you to look at somebody tonight. I want you to point your finger at them, right in their nose if you can. Tell them this. Until then, we're going to keep on singing. Until then, we're going to keep pressing the battle. Until then, we're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Until then, Brother Terry. Ain't no quitting in us, are they? Ain't no giving up. Defeat's one word, we don't even know how to use it. We're soldiers tonight. Give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy, we're gonna carry.
You're singing so good. I don't know what's got into you the last few weeks. You've turned into songbirds and you've just turned into worshipers. I mean, you've always worshiped, but just seem like you've just you're floorboarding it now. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're floorboarding it now. Amen. You used to use that term back in the hot rod days, Brother Terry. And floorboard it, boys. Floorboard it. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of specials. One announcement we want to make to you tonight, don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Unless you want to get up at 2 and do that, you can do it when you go home. If it's 10 o'clock when you go to bed, it's going to be 11 o'clock in all reality. So remember to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Spring forward and you follow back. This is spring, so you're going to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Everybody say, I'm going to set it ahead 1 hour. Set it ahead 1 hour. We had a little confusion the last time we made that announcement, and I apologize for that. A couple showed up an hour early for church, and that was my fault, no doubt. But anyways, everybody understand, you set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Now, Sister Geraldine, where's she at? She has a song, if she'll come at this time. Brother Donnie has in the process and almost done, recorded a new CD. And tonight we're going to hear one of those songs just before he comes out to bring us the word of the Lord. I believe it's going to be a real blessing to you. We'll hear one of those tonight and in the morning, and then probably within the next 3 to 4 weeks, that CD will be available in the library. And Brother Jimmy and the brothers will have that for you over there available. So just something for us to look forward to. Let's enjoy Sister Gerald as she sings for us tonight. Appreciate her, don't we? Amen.
Road of life toward heaven, hills and mountains. so hard to find. If victory seems a little long in coming, he says, my child, just hold on to my hand. So I'll keep holding on to Jesus, holding on to Jesus. I'll keep holding to the precious well-starred hand. I cannot see my way too clearly, my steps are growing weary, but I'll keep holding to those precious seems so narrow. Fear and doubt try to cloud my mind. Yes, then I feel the gentle touch of Jesus. He says, my child, keep holding to my hand.
It seemed the world was mine. I had joy, I had springtime, but that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord. But I don't want this calloused feeling anymore. Bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way. was a challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made a move. Now I've lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing. But I don't want this lonesome feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the
the Lord. Beautiful. Amen. Let's sing a chorus just before our pastor comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. Is that your desire tonight? Let's sing that chorus just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. One more time. Oh yes, it's Jesus
the Lord. Well, the farther we go, the worse it looks, too. Ain't it? The world? It's going to be the time we get ready to leave this place. Ain't no telling what in the world is going to be going on. You think it's bad now? Wait till you're gone. That's right. That's exactly right. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2 tonight, if you would. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the Messianic Empire. We'd like to run a parallel tonight with the help of the Lord between the four Gentile kingdoms that began in this vision or dream that Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar saw, and then run it down to the end time. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image this great image whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. Now the remnants of these kingdoms all merged together at the end time. Even though the stone smashes and hits the toes, the 10 toes, the iron and the clay mixed together, yet all of the influence is broken all the way back. Notice how he says this. The iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain.
Amen.
Now I realize I'm not too smart, okay? But if you're going to cut a stone out of a mountain, then what would that mountain be? It would have to be stone, would it not? So the stone is cut out, then it grows into a great mountain or a kingdom. Now he says, then once this stone is cut out, it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for your great word. I pray that you'd take it tonight, Lord Jesus, and speak to our hearts. May we be benefited by our gathering together tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like for us to read also from the Pergamene church age. And here Brother Branham is going to give us a little layout of these Gentile ages of how they blend together. Herein is revealed an exact account of future unfulfilled history that was prophesied to come upon the earth from the time of Daniel until Jesus would come and reign as the son of David. It is known as the times of the Gentiles. It had within it four historical divisions, which were known by the dominating empire, in each division. Now listen how these run. Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Roman. Now there will be little ones that will come up. There'll be Ottoman powers. There'll be different influences that'll come up. The Turks, the different ones that'll have an influence. But there'll be four main Gentile powers. Now this is why that I do not get all tore all to pieces about Islam. This is why I don't get all tore up about Alibaba and Hababi and whoever more them bobbies are over there and them ragheads. I don't get all tore up about them because you realize they'll come and they'll go. But there are four great powers that are to be, and Islam did not surprise God. You know, the ragheads didn't surprise God. He knew exactly they'd be here. But apparently they're not going to amount to too much because they're not in division. Not saying they can't do all kinds of things, but yet according to the great powers that are to be, they've already been prophesied, and they have hit directly, and so will they at the end time. So just have courage, friends. Notice, now, he says the greatest and most absolute monarchy was the Babylonian, which was typified as the head of gold. Now, this is not in this quote here, but I found this so it would be able to give you a little bit of increment on the time frame. And this one was from 604 B.C. to 538 B.C. The next in glory was the Medo-Persian, which as history bore out was truly less glorious and was typified as the breast and arms of silver. Now this one was from 538 BC to 331 BC. Then there followed the Grecian age, whose king was the most brilliant of all military leaders the world has ever known. So it was fittingly typified as the belly and thighs of brass. It was less glorious than the other two preceding. Now, isn't it amazing? Here you've got the most brilliant general. You've got the most brilliant emperor that ever lived.
But yet his kingdom was not as great as the two preceding ones. So whenever you go to matching them up, you might have a brilliant man, but yet that brilliant man lives in a kingdom that is not as brilliant as another kingdom would have, not a general as brilliant as this man was. Now, Alexander the Great, of course, was a very great man, but his kingdom would never amount to what the golden kingdom nor the silver kingdom would. Can't you see that no matter how great a man is or how less a man is, they will do and accomplish according to the dispensation that they're living under. It's the same with you and I. Do you think it's because we are so great and we are far so surpassed Paul and Peter and John and Irenaeus that God has given us the great things he's given us in this day? Do you understand what makes it so great? It's not, Brother David, that you and I are so great and we're such great profound preachers, but it's the age that God let us live. It's not that we're so great. You saints are so profound. Oh my, we're just the greatest people that ever lived. That's not true. It's just the age that we live and God allowed us to live here. That's what makes it so great. Now watch this. Finally came the last kingdom, which was the Roman Empire, typified, now notice how this begins, typified as the legs and feet. But wherein the former kingdoms were typified as pure minerals, pure gold, silver, and brass, this last empire was pure iron only in the legs. Now I want you to notice this, how these worldly kingdoms, how God shows them. Now of course they are revealed here by metals. And notice where they start. They start at the head and go down. Of course, since you're not building a body, you're building an image, that might work. But if you're building a house, you'd never start with the shingles first. I mean, you might, I would. I wouldn't want to put the shingles on and then put the trusses and the rafters and the walls. Maybe you might. Maybe you want to start and you want to start the shingles first and then prop everything up. But notice how the Gentile kingdoms are doing. Starting at the top and coming down. But how does God build his bride? He starts at the bottom and works up to the head. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, notice as it comes down to Rome, to the Roman Empire or the imperialist empire, then it comes and it starts out in two great legs. Notice now, there's not two bellies, there's not two heads, but when it comes to this empire, it is the part of the government or the Gentile kingdom, and it is typified in what? Two legs. So as it was in the beginning of the Roman Empire, as there was an eastern and a western part of this division of this imperialistic empire, so was it there that the two parts of the kingdom, and it stood up on the legs. And notice in this stage, it is iron. But as it goes on in time, it totally changes from this. Now notice this. The last empire was pure iron only in the legs. Now it began 164 BC. And actually through this part of the legs, the Eastern Western Empire, it goes up to 476 AD. Now that's a long, long time. For when it come to the feet, it was a mixture of iron and clay. Mineral and soil just don't mix and produce constancy and strength. But not only so, but most amazing, this last empire, Roman, would endure in its peculiar mixed state right up until Jesus returns. But now notice when it becomes into the iron and the clay. It's after the dissolving of the Eastern and Western Empire, and when it begins to change from an imperialistic part to a papal part. Now, it will change from becoming an empire that will rule by pontiffs and all that sort of thing as far as the way it started out in the Eastern and Western part, and it will change to where it will absolutely conquer the entire world. But it will not conquer as it started out. It will not conquer as it was in one city and over in the middle of Italy, and there it would go, and from there by a great power of swords and spears, not at all, but the deadly wound which it received in its head would be healed and it would raise up under a different force. But in that, it shows that it would mingle through the entire earth because it would be iron and clay mixed together. And there won't be one nation on the earth that it will not have come through. Everywhere that it come through, whether it was in Arizona or Mexico or Spain or wherever it was, when they would come in, one of the first things they would do is start building up what? Their missions. I've been to many of these different parts of the world. I've been out in Arizona and Mexico and seen some of the ones that they did hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And they would go in, and one of the one things they'd do, start helping the poor, start giving them food, start doing this. Don't you understand? There is an allegiance to that sort of thing. If they can convince you, they're the ones who feed you. They are the ones who help you do this and help you do that. You owe them an allegiance. Come on, children. But yet this is not the only kingdom that Daniel saw. There was another kingdom, another empire. It would start a total different way. It would have totally different principles. And it would conquer all of them. Thank you, Lord. The Roman Empire of iron, iron signifying power and great destructive force against opposition. Now notice how it represents this now. Was to be made of two main divisions. It certainly was for the empire. Literally split into two, east and west. Both were very powerful, crushing all before them. So here when Daniel sees this, and my, it's all symbols, it's all types. And Daniel is so curious about what he sees. Now God goes a little bit farther actually. Now he goes beyond the metallurgical symbols. And God shows him the symbol in power. Now before we get that, let's read this in the serpent's seed. Brother Ben said, we could go back to Daniel and get the image. Look at the silver head of gold, the Babylonian kingdom, brass or silver, Medo-Persia, brass, Alexander the Great, and so forth, the Grecian kingdom. Then the Roman Empire, Eastern and Western Rome, the 2 feet. Notice in these 10 kingdoms, which exactly comes of those 10 horns, that was, notice now he saw his 10 toes in the image, and he comes over to chapter 7 and he sees 10 horns on the head. And then there'll be 11th horn, which will rise up, which will be more notable than them all, which of course be the Antichrist and then the last period of the tribulation period. And each one of these 10 kingdoms that was to rise, there was iron and clay. Now notice in these 10 Ottoman powers, when it comes down to the last reign up to the coming of the Lord Jesus, through the 10 toes and the feet will come the mixture. Through this will be the iron and the clay. It will never be purely gold, it'll never be silver, it'll never be brass again, neither will it be purely iron again. But it will come in a more deceiving, subtle manner. Now watch this. Notice how he explains this. And that iron came from the legs, which was Rome, and there's a streak of Romanism mixing every nation that there is under heaven through the Catholic Church. Now watch how it changes from the imperialistic empire of coming in and dominating under an emperor. And then it comes down and now remember it doesn't say really how much iron and how much clay is there. All it takes is a streak. Now you might look at the feet and there might actually be more clay in content than there would be iron. But all it takes is a little bit of iron to be able to mess up the whole composition. So here the little streak of iron is in every nation, whether it's Russia, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in America, South America, wherever it is around the world. I guess the only place they ain't conquering is the North and South Pole. And if anybody moves there, they'll probably start a mission there too. Because they want to be everywhere there's any human beings at. Because it is the spirit of the empire by which they must conquer. And they will not conquer with a sword. But all that rigmarole. Hail Mary, Mother of God. That's a bunch of trash. God ain't got no mother. Pray for us sinners out of the time of our departure. Amen. Hail Mary, Mother of God. You might as well say, hey dog, hey cat. That's right. Now, notice whenever this image, now, Nebuchadnezzar sees it, not realizing, of course, that he's seeing himself. Each of these kingdoms worked under a different power, which was symbolized by a beast. And we know a beast in the Bible represents a power. Now, keep this in mind, because we're going to parallel the making of the bride as well. So, Daniel, he goes to seeking, and God many times would do this to the prophets, that God would double it, or he would confirm it. So, God showed Nebuchadnezzar the dream. He shows Daniel the vision. Now we come over to chapter 7, and God is going to show them the characteristics or the power or the symbolism of the anointing, if you will, that these beasts are going to anoint these kingdoms. Now they will, everyone, be different one from the other. The Babylonian kingdom, of course, will be made up a little bit different than the Medo-Persia. The Medo-Persia different from the Grecian. The Grecian a little bit different from the Roman. You know, sort of like justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself. Notice four great powers to bring the world back down. Through four death messengers, the devil cut it down. Through four life messengers, God will bring it back up. In the end time, there will be a rapture consummated in the coming of the headship. Oh, hallelujah. While the world's losing those and going down, God's been building his and bringing it up. Now notice in Daniel chapter 7 verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now notice the Mediterranean. Now, he's very familiar with this area, but it's also symbols as well. Because from here will come forth these great powers in this general vicinity of the world. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Of course, water means sickness and multitude of people. Diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So let me tell you something. You think you're the first one to have a symbol of an eagle? You might ought to read your Bible a little better. Now, this is Babylon. This is the dominion or the kingdom of Babylon. Now, notice the symbols. My message symbols. A lion and an eagle. Now, listen how peculiar that God chooses to reveal himself in these symbols. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. So now here is the Babylonian power. Now he has part of the anointing or the character by which this symbol is revealing is a beast that is a mixture of a lion imagery and an eagle. So in the vision, it must have been a very peculiar thing. And if you've ever seen renderings of artists' ideas of what they think this was, they look very, very peculiar. Many of the beasts in Daniel's vision, of course, Daniel 7, Daniel 9. And yet, whenever you look at it, it's not just some type of fictitious character out of Hollywood, but it is a representation of a power that this kingdom is going to operate under. Now, do you understand that God has done his church in the same way? So you look in the book of Revelation, you see one that had the face like a lion, one like the face of an eagle, one like a lion, one like an ox. What is it? It is a symbolism of an anointing or the power by which we are anointed. Glory! You know why we will not be martyred in this day? Because we're not working under the anointing of the ox. Our symbol is a flying eagle. Now notice how Daniel sees this in the vision. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Now here is a change that is taking place in this dominion or this empire. So this creature has Part of him that looks like a lion. Part of him he has symbols of eagle's wings. But yet his wings become plucked. So he enters into a change. Now remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar that God lifted up in his pride. And God told him because of this, he would be like an animal. Remember? His hair grew out, his fingernails, all that grew out. Notice the symbolism now because he himself is a type of his own kingdom. For he is going to symbolize how that man, when he comes into power, that man, if he's not careful, can turn to the heart of a beast. And then what happens, that same man sometimes later, he comes to himself and his mind returns and he changes from a beast back into a man. Notice how this experience with this man forerun, oh glory to God, forerun the very setting of the coming empire that he was going to control. And also those that would follow him, his successors. Notice, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. My, my. Now, as much as possible as it could be for a man to become a beast, Nebuchadnezzar moved into that. Then he moved out of that when he come back to himself. But notice he was symbolizing something that was going to happen to the empire. For you don't understand the empire of Babylon. It changed. After they conquered the known world, then they changed from conquerors and murderers into people who were people of culture. So then they began to focus on buildings and culture and languages and the arts. So they changed from a ravening beast who wants to devour. And then they stand upon the earth with the heart of a man. So here in this one imagery, we see the full span or the run of years by which this empire would be dominated. So it would come forth as a great ravaging beast. It would go forth, it would conquer, it would kill, it would mutilate, annihilate. But somewhere in the middle of that kingdom somewhere, it would start changing and get the heart of a man. Then it would stand upon the earth as a man and become very docile. So it would change from a loss to power to the arts, culture, building. Now I wonder how they knew to do that. Did they have the book of Daniel here and say, ain't it about time for us to change? And we're so worried that God's going to produce a bride. I'll be glad when we can get as worried about it as God is. If you and I, Brother Jerry, can ever reach that spot, I figure we're just about ready to walk in the gates. God is so worried about how, you know, hey, is there going to be a rapture? Is there not? He's already got the theophany bodies waiting and prepared. He's already got the city made. It's not expandable or contractible according to the size needed. God don't have the special extensions built onto heaven in case more show up than what he had planned. Or if more shows up, you know, less shows up than what he had planned, that God can pull in the sides to the gates and shrink heaven in. He knows exactly how many mansions. He knows how wide to build the streets. He knows how big to make the whole thing. Hallelujah! And then what does he do? He turns loose the power on the earth. And the people who are germatized to that age work under that power. Now, notice he moves in the vision. Now in verse 5. I beheld, another beast. Second. Like to a bear. And it raised itself up on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. So this bear now comes up. This eagle, lion creature. It's like he just kind of fades back. And then Daniel sees this massive bear as he raises up, and he's kind of standing one-sidedly like this. Then Daniel looks in his mouth and he sees three ribs. Between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Can't you see why these kingdoms and the people who lived in that day, they were under this release of this prophetic allotment. No doubt many of these people, before they come under this anointing, they were peace-loving people. But all of a sudden, the anointing come on the earth for the Medo-Persians to take over. And it's like they begin to look at other people and say, I want your house, I want your chariot, I want your house, I want your land. How did they do that? Because this bear anointing. You understand? So this bear is Medo-Persia. The bear stands one-sided because this kingdom is a joint kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, or Medo-Persia. But yet, when Daniel looks at this, seeing that it is standing kind of lopsided, the Persians were by far the dominating force of this kingdom. So when Daniel sees the bear kind of standing over to one side, the side that raised up the highest, that was the Persians. And this other weaker side over here was the Medes. Ain't God absolutely perfect? Oh my. Now the bear has three ribs in its mouth. Between its teeth. Of course, the Medo-Persians by force took the kingdoms of Lydia, Babylonia, notice this, and of Egypt. Now the bear is not near as majestic as either a lion or an eagle. Notice how the power is changing with the metal. Now over here, the metal, the gold is the very top of the head. The lion, the eagle. Now it moves down and this becomes silver. And the power by which the silver operates on is what? A bear. And what's wrong going to be? All of them. They'll talk like an eagle when they need to. They'll growl like a bear when they need to. They'll be the he-goat, the ram-goat. They'll be everything they need to be. You want to talk message? Catholicism can talk it right with you. Oh, good Lord. You think Catholicism is only in Rome? I'll tell you, I'm convinced there's about as many Catholics in this message as there are bride. But they're not Roman Catholics. They're message Catholics. A few years goes on, we'll be burning candles. Well, glory. Now, what's this? Oh, my. After this, in verse 6, Daniel said, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So now we move from the Medo-Persian into the Grecian Empire. Now it was not just the full-blown influence of the bear that carried over into the Grecian Empire. It wouldn't work. They must have a different change in the anointing as their message changes. Can't you see the bride in this end time cannot work under the anointing of Pentecost? Can't you see, my friend, we cannot work under just the anointing of Luther. We cannot work, Brother Jim, just under the anointing of Methodist. We must have the anointing, Brother Terry, that is suited for our message. Do we love Pentecost, the real Pentecost? Sure. Do we love gifts? Yes. But friends, the emphasis in this day is not great big healing campaigns. It's getting you ready for a body change. So notice this symbol now. Daniel sees a leopard. Now a leopard is a very unique animal. I've been to different parts of Africa. Only seen just a couple. Actually out in the wild. Because they are so seclusive. And in the nighttime was the only time I saw them. So they're very, very hard to hunt. And they're very fast. Now they're not as fast as the cheetah. They are bigger than the cheetah. But they have a bigger spread of domain. So here Daniel sees now this leopard. And as he comes up, he also is peculiar. Because he winds up with four wings of a bird on his back. So now notice these symbols, how that it is a mixture. A lion and an eagle and a bear and all this. Now notice how whenever he sees this, he sees a leopard, which is one species. And then he sees four wings on the back of this leopard. Now, you ain't never seen no flying leopard before. What is it? A mixing of powers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the leopard is, of course, again, less majestic than the lion, less majestic than the eagle, less majestic as far smaller in size and all that, less intimidating than a bear, but it is faster than both. Now watch how this leopard will symbolize how the kingdom will move in. The leopard by its speed. Hallelujah. So Alexander the Great conquered the Medo-Persian Empire with such pace. It was unbelievable how the man comes in. But that's only part of the power that they're working on. Now God sees how each of these kingdoms will start, how they'll go in the middle, and how they will end. So he must involve everything that will be full course needed in this beast that'll run from the beginning of this kingdom plumb up to the end of it. If all they needed was the initial stage, the leopard would be good enough. But the leopard won't carry it through. Since Alexander is going to die. So God put four wings on the back of this leopard. Those four wings were actually with Alexander when he conquered Medo-Persia. No doubt whenever they realized that Alexander was sick and dying, other men wanted to be this and that and the other. But they were not seen in the vision. It wasn't just any generals. These guys might not even been the smartest. But they were identified in the vision. Oh, glory to God. Don't you see, friends, if God saw you before the foundation of the Lord, you may not be the prettiest, the richest, or the smartest, but if God saw you, you will be there. Yeah. Glory. Now watch, the four wings represent the four heads or the four generals who took the four kingdoms out of the Grecian Empire. Now it starts out under one man, Alexander the Great. But now he's going to die. He's going to pass. Now watch how this divides. Ptolemy, General Ptolemy, gets Egypt, Israel, and Arabia. Seleucus over Syria and Babylonia. And as far east as India. Cassander over Macedonia and Greece and Limitatus over Thrace and Bithynia. Now God hid these men's identity. The kingdom would not remain under the leopard anointing. But these four wings on the back of it. So the Grecian kingdom would go four different directions. A wing for a direction. Now remember, this is the making of the body of the Gentile kingdoms of the world. So that I wonder over here on this other side, the making of the body of the Gentile bride. I wonder what all lays and that God has made up before the foundation of the world, that He would send a Paul and an Irenaeus and a Luther and a Wesley. And you know what? Whenever they come out of there, it's amazing that even though the head of gold, that kingdom itself was gone, but the influence of the head of gold was still going right on down to the feet and the toes. Because the vision that Daniel saw, he did not just destroy the toes, but he actually, the whole kingdom's was destroyed because it was all come right down through there. Don't you understand, friend? We don't want to just operate under shouting. We want to shout when God sends it. We want to cry when God sends crying. We want to have access to all seven spirits of God. I don't know about you. I want to move in every channel that God wants me to move into. Do I have favorites? I do, just like you do. But I want to be so open that the Spirit of God can move in and out of my life, in and out of one channel to another. Now watch in verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now notice, no lion, no eagle, no bear, no leopard. This one is so different, diverse than the rest. But there's one thing that Daniel, as he looks at it, and John sees the same thing. And another symbol. Whenever he looks, he sees the symbol of the metal that was in the two legs of Daniel 2. Now he sees the iron in the teeth. If you had iron teeth, you could eat about anything. I sat in Zimbabwe several years ago, and them brothers, they had some chicken extras after the meetings in there. I noticed as we was eating the chicken, you know, and they kind of put the bones over on another plate. So, I mean, we sat there and talked around the table and fellowship for however long. I just noticed they kept looking at them bones and just looking at them. And I'm looking at them too. I'm thinking, what in the world? And so I asked the brother, I said, well, what are y'all going to do with them? He said, well, after you leave, we're going to eat them. I said, well, go ahead and tell the brothers to eat them right now. I want to see it. So they pick up them bones and they start crunching them like a hound dog. And I mean, they wipe, Brother Jack, they wipe them bones out. And I was like, my goodness, my field teeth, my old soft American teeth, probably one bite into that. My teeth would all go down. But you know what? They're not used to eating some of the junk that I am. So they're able to crunch on them bones. You never heard nothing like that in your life. I'm talking about 10 or 12 preachers sitting around crunching chicken bones. Now when Daniel looks and he sees this one, he doesn't see the wings of an eagle or the wings of a fowl or the head of a lion, but he sees powerful iron teeth. Notice the adjectives that he used to describe this one. And I beheld a fourth beast of power, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceeding. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. So he ate and he ate and he ate with his teeth of iron. But notice what he did with his feet. He stamped. Notice his feet now. He's stamping with his feet. Now this is the exact same symbol that is seen in Daniel 2. Now watch, he devoured, breaking pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. So some of them were actually swallowed up in the initiating of this kingdom. And for hundreds of years. But then it would move out of the legs, the strength, into the feet, where it would stamp or mark. Now notice with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. Oh. So this one will be a man, will he? He will be a horn which symbolizes a kingdom or a king, but he will be a man. Glory. Notice now what kind of man he'll be. Like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now there's one thing that really sticks out to Daniel over and over again as he looks at this. Of all the imagery that he sees in the other 3, this fourth one just seems to overwhelm him. And he looks at it and he looks and he peers and he marveled with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, why do you look upon her with such great admiration? I will tell you who she is. But one thing that sticks out so much to Daniel is that this one, Brother Amos, is so diverse. He's so different than all the rest. Oh my. He appears more ferocious, more devastating, and there again, so diverse. Now he's perplexed, Daniel is. So in verse 16, watch Daniel 7, 16. I came near unto one of them that stood by and ask him the truth of all of this. So he told me. Glory. And made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are 4 are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. Glory to God. I knew I'd get to you if I kept going along with this. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Listen to how this being standing there now with Daniel in the vision, and Daniel comes up to this being and says, I want to know the truth of this. I don't understand it. It's overwhelming me. I want to know what is it. He said, the 4th powers that raised up as 4 kings of 4 kingdoms that will come up out of the earth. Then all of a sudden, here appears another beast. But the saints. What in the world have we got to do talking about saints? I thought we was talking about beasts and powers. But the saints of the Most High. El Elyon. Remember, this is the name in which Melchizedek, when he comes to Abraham, he said, blessed be the Most High God. El Elyon. But the saints of the Most High. Listen how you're going to get it. It ain't going to be give to you. the saints of the Most High shall take. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. How did Babylon move from a city? How did it move from a city? How did it move from one little thing of conquering another and another? How did it get it? It took it. How did it take it? Because it was working under an allotment of an anointing. How did the Medo-Persians, when they started out and they had a few thousand, then a few 10,000, then hundreds of thousands, how did they do it? By sheer strength represented in the imagery of the bear. There were so many of them, nobody could stop them. By sheer populace and number, they come and conquered by brute force. So they took it, working under their anointing. So you tell me, how will we take the kingdoms? By working under the anointing of another beast. Oh. Glory to God. By working under the anointing of another power. You're going to do it under camel power. You say camel power? Yeah, not the kind you put between your fingers, neither. What kind of power was it that took Rebecca to meet her husband? Camel power. We ain't got three ribs in our mouth. We don't need a bear. We don't need a great mighty something or another, but the power of the Holy Ghost that'll take us to meet our bridegroom. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Glory to God. How is this slid in there? This is the consummation of the Little Rock Kingdom. Now watch Daniel, he's still perplexed about the fourth beast. In verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse. This fourth beast, it started many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But its allotment of time will run right on down to the coming of the Lord and going into the tribulation period. Notice now, this fourth beast is different than anything that's ever been on the earth. Sort of like the church ages. That there was an eagle and an ox and a man, or a lion rather, and an ox and a man. And then John looked and he said, I saw a flying eagle. And this eagle was more diverse. He was different than any of the rest that had ever been on the earth. As a matter of fact, you're coming down to the close of the Gentile kingdoms. And guess the way God topples the whole end of it all? A Gentile province. Glory to God. Amen. So he's not like Lucifer. He's not like Wesley, because the Gentiles never had a prophet before. Now we're in this other side. Daniel says, I would know the truth of this fourth beast, which is diverse from all the others. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass. Now watch now. Part of the anointing before him is still with him. Now notice the mergings of this, the gold, the head of gold, part of the characteristics under the Babylonian kingdom emerged into the kingdom of the Medo-Persians. Part of the characteristics from the Medo-Persians merged into the Greeks, and from all three of them will merge into the fourth. That's why real true bride preachers preach the truth of real justification. We don't stop preaching on justification. We preach it at the opening of the seals. We preach it a lot different than Luther did, but there's some truth that Luther had. So we take from that truth that Luther had and re-preach it after the opening of the seven seals. We don't stop preaching sanctification. We still preach it. Can't you see this amid the preachers of the message that have quit preaching justification, quit preaching restoration of the gifts, and they quit preaching sanctification, and they wonder why their churches are not reproducing like they should? We've got to have all the truths. So look at this fourth kingdom. Iron. The nails of brass. Oh. Which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Another 10 horns ever in his head. And the other which came up before whom 3 fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. But whatever you do, don't stop on verse 21. That can be pretty bleak if you stop there. Now, he sees 10 horns, kings. And then he sees an 11th raise up. And when the 11th raises, he knocks out 3 of the 10. And in this one, which of course was typed by Antiochus Epiphanes, but yet the real fulfillment of this will be in the tribulation period, when this horn will raise and will cause craft manufacturing to prosper. Why? Because the world is going to be so broke. Greece, Europe, the United States, they will be needing a superman that can rework the economy. Gas, $5 a gallon. Taxes, this going bankrupt. That going bankrupt. Foreclosure, ever. Don't you understand? It's setting it up for the reign of the little horn. Glory to God. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Woo! Glory! Notice! Lord Jesus! Notice when the Ancient... I feel like speaking in tongues. When the Ancient of Days comes, he don't come by himself. Notice they made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now notice when the Ancient of Days comes, hallelujah to God, when he comes, he's got 10,000s of his saints with him. And judgment, he does not set up and judge, but judgment was actually given to the saints. The saints ain't judged, they're doing the judging. What is this, my friends? The Messianic Empire. Oh, hallelujah! He will raise and that little horn will come against them. He'll kill the foolish virgin. He'll kill the 144,000 until the Ancient of Days comes. Now watch this fourth empire is seen in the vision as going through several stages. In verse 23, it's seen in the united stage of how it is united together. In the first stage, in its diverseness of eastern and western empire. Then it's followed by the second stage of a one world government, which will be running through all the toes that are set upon the earth. Of course, if your toes ain't rooted in the earth, and you got wings, and you've done left the earth barnyard, that Romanism might have had a hold of you at one time, but not no more, brother. Woo! Glory to God, it had a hold of us, whether it was Methodist or Pentecostal or Baptist, but once we saw our daddy in the skies and it quickened our mortal body, we left this old earth. It had no more dominion over us. Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse. Notice this word again, diverse. From all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. This is not Islam. This ain't the United States. Don't you understand? Satan does things and he raises it up to offset and mess up the minds of the people so they're looking at it and don't see it because they're just focusing on this over here. You think of all the devastation and destruction that Adolf Hitler just did. He wouldn't even found these visions. And if somebody like him wasn't in there, then Muhammad ain't going to be. Them ragheads may control the oil of the world, but they don't control Holy Ghost oil. Prince Ali Bobby and his son Millie Bobby and the rest of Bobby boys, they may all control all that sort of thing, but they ain't got no control of this Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! Glory to God! Why? Because we're working under another anointing. And we will take the kingdom. Hallelujah. And before we can ever take it on the earth, we've got to take it in the earth. Glory to God. He shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. And shall tread it down and shall break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse. Look at this word, how many times it's used. So here this whole kingdom is diverse, and this last king will be so diverse from the rest of them. My. And he shall subdue three kings. Notice now. He shall subdue three kings. Let's look in verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. They'll be the three holy words. He'll speak against the Most High by cutting the most. If you notice, Daniel didn't say the Most Highs. Daniel wasn't a Trinitarian. Boy, that's good. Thank you, Lord. It's not the saints of the Most Highs, as in plural, but the Most High. What will be his blasphemous words against the Most High? He'll cut him up into three persons. He'll blaspheme God, and he'll blaspheme the church, the bride, by calling his whore bride the real bride. Notice this. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Whew. That sounds tiring, but it don't sound defeating. Y'all ever work all day or just run all day or whatever, and you come up and say, whew, I'm wore out. How come you don't say I'm dead? Take me to the funeral home. Yeah, brother, don't need to preach my funeral. I'm wore out. What's that mean? Means you need rest. And tomorrow, more than likely, you'll be at it again. Glory to God! He may wear us out, Brother Jim, but he will not defeat us. Oh, it's given to him to wear out the saints. That's why, friend, he'll try you and try you and try you and try to wear you out. He gets you down on Monday night and you're up raring to go on Tuesday. He wears you down on Tuesday and you're up raring to go on Wednesday. And he wears and we get up. He wears and we get up until eventually we're gone and he can't find us no more. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. Time and times two and a dividing of time. Half. One plus two is three. And then a half is three and one. Half. Let me find a place to close. What makes this empire so different? There's many things, but let me just read you a little something here historically. The key difference was the type of government initiated by Rome, which was a government of imperialism. When the Babylonians conquered an area, they did not set up Babylonian rulers. But they set up nationals to rule. So it'd be like a man will say it like this so you understand it. If Virginia was a kingdom, and Tennessee was a kingdom, and the Virginians conquered Tennesseans, instead of them taking a Virginian and setting him over Tennessee, they'd take a Tennessean and put him under his dominion. So then Virginia would rule Tennessee under a national. Now watch how this comes. When the Babylonians conquered there, they did not set up Babylonian rulers, but set up nationals to rule. In the conquest of Judah, Babylon set up Zedekiah. Remember that in the scripture? And he was a Jew. Now as long as they did what they were told, they really didn't have no problems. Now notice how this kingdom sets it up. Later Gedaliah appointed to rule. Under Medo-Persia, the same thing was done. Jewish governors such as Zerubbabel and Nehemiah ruled. Now it was under the Medo-Persian kingdom that Nehemiah gets his jurisdiction to go back to Jerusalem and be able to build the walls. He was a Jewish national. Right? Because they're not, their form of government is not imperialism. But this beast is fixing to change all that. The Greeks worked in the same way. Instead of sending Greeks to rule, they allowed the Jewish high priest to rule throughout the period of Greek domination. But Rome, the fourth empire, one thing that made it so diverse from all the others, when Rome conquered, Romans were sent to rule. Pontius Pilate, Felix, Festus. Now this is what caused such tumult in the days of the Lord Jesus. Because now Festus is there, then they have Felix in the days of Paul. So what do? They change everything. So instead of trusting you to pastor a church and you to be led of the Holy Ghost, they want to control the message by imperialism. You look at every one of these moves, friend, whether it's Seven Founders, Perusia, Two Soul, all these things, and you watch the same thing, how it moves. They'll have men in them countries, they'll have men of influence, they'll have men to go by, constantly visit them. You look at some of these that was before them, how they selected a bishop, so-called, over a bunch of churches, and that bishop in the message, and that bishop controlled all the tithing of those small churches, and he established a pastor in the message. And you think of soft Catholicism is out yonder. You better open your eyes. It ain't just out yonder. It's right under our noses. So this is the policy of imperialism. But what about the Messianic Empire? Let me close with this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, another four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. A lamb. This is his beast power. His symbolism of starting his empire. He doesn't have a Roman rib and a Grecian rib and a Medo-Persia rib. And everybody just shudders. But the beginning of his dominion, his empire, he reveals himself in the form of a lamb. Amen. As I heard Brother Branham say it yesterday, a sheep is the most defenseless animal on the earth. A dog can bite, a bird can fly, a fox can run. He went through the different animals and how they have means of protecting themselves, but a little lamb is totally defenseless. So here he comes to the earth. The stone, not a mountain that will shoot out of a mountain, but a stone, a gravel. Might not have been that big. You know, kind of like whenever you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Brother Bram said, on the other side of that mountain, a little speck of dust started rolling down. Be thou moved and cast into the sea. Nothing happened. You saw nothing. But out of your sight, on the other side, a little tiny thing, maybe that big, started. Doop, doop. Your mountain's on its way. So God cuts out a rock and lands it on the earth. And the power that it works under, this rock, is a little old lamb. It's all pushed around. They looked for him to be a Messiah. Brother Bram said he was pushed from one side to the other. Led over here and pushed over there. Pushed here and pushed there. As a lamb led to her shearers. It's peculiar, isn't it? That Isaiah would prophesy about the lamb and call it a her. Her shears? She's dumb. So you open not her mouth? I say, what's the matter with you? Don't you know gender? I do know gender. And I say, who's in that? I see who's in there left. It's the dominion. If God would show this lion and this eagle and would represent that in Nebuchadnezzar, oh, glory to God, would not God hide that in the beginning of the second Adam? That in that second Adam's character would be the characteristics of the entire empire. Friends, do you realize in the Messianic Empire, there is absolutely no jealousy. Do you know those that are really baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body? There's none of them in their souls that have any jealousy. None of them have murder. None of them have lust. None of them. It's been eradicated. Now, I'm not talking about your outside. The old outside body may fight you all the days of your life, and it will. But do you realize everybody that's truly baptized into this Messianic empire, there is no jealousy. There is no hatred. There is no strife. Oh, these are the ones that's going to take the kingdom. I beheld and know in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. Notice now where this power comes out from among. In the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and the midst of the elders. Isn't it strange? These other four powers come out of the ocean, the sea. But this one, where does it come from? Projects from the secret part of God's heart. Brother Ben said, why didn't John see this lamb in the breach? Why didn't he see it? He said he was way back in the eternities. Amen. Working until every name was on that book of life had been fully redeemed. Amen. Notice him now. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. No wings, no teeth of iron, no stamping the residue. But seven spirits of God, seven dispensations of truth. He will reveal himself in this span of time in what is called the sevenfold personage. The elect in every age will catch the loosing of that anointing. Can't you see why Paul and Peter and Luther and Wesley and all them, do you understand that they died, what we call die. When Paul died, went to the grave, Peter went to the grave, all the rest of them, their bodies, they went down believing the rapture was coming in their age. That's looking for the coming of the Lord right then. Then Arrhenius and Luther and all the Columba, don't you see that whenever they do come up, it'll be just as fresh as it was when they went down. They said, man, this is what I was looking for. It's just yesterday, wasn't it? Do you realize Paul's only been gone 2 days? It's just like 2 days ago, Paul went down and said, man, I knew it wasn't going to be long. 2,000 years ago. When Luther went down, I'm looking for it. You raise up, man, I knew it wasn't going to be long. Do you understand? Only those will be a part. What? They're quickened to the coming of the Lord. They're part of the resurrection in their day. That's why the resurrection is no surprise. It's no great something to them. They're part of it now. Be part of it now, friends. So when it takes place, you're looking for it. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate His grace? Daniel says this, chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Now remember, it must start in human hearts. kingdoms cannot change until men change. As I told you last weekend, if Jesus would have given Peter and James and John and Paul and Bartholomew and Matthew and all those men the kingdom of God and made it a natural kingdom on the earth without the Holy Ghost. Don't you understand what they've been doing? You see a little bit of their behavior before. Whenever their mama comes, let my sons do this and would you let my son do that? And don't you understand? That's exactly the way they did it. They were unconverted men. The kingdom would have been the same way. So before this kingdom here could ever issue a change, the man who's going to do it must be changed. Before kingdoms change, men must change. For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, did it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. I mean, if Daniel could say it then, we ought to really be able to say it now, friend. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Father. How grateful we are, Lord. You know how we are as humans. We worry and fret over things. We can't keep from being concerned, Lord. Our nation's in the worst shape it's ever been since it was founded as a nation. Politics, government, religion, the economy. More debt, Lord. It's constantly going, going, going. Not just us. The housing market. Gas, fuel cost. Everywhere we look, Lord. More tension and pressure on your people. Truly, Lord, Satan has been allowed to wear us out. That's why we need a place of rest. That's why it does us good to come into your presence with the saints of God and hear the word preached. To the world, it's good night, but to us, it's shalom. To them, it's good night, or bad night, I should say, but to us, it's good morning. For the sun has risen upon our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray, Father. Lord God, may the kingdom of the rock annihilate. Even whenever the voice cries out in Revelation 18, there was an angel come out of heaven. Saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. That you be not partakers of her sins. So here's Babylon still being identified over in the book of Revelation. Though the city is far gone and been destroyed for years. But the power that made it what it was come down into Rome and runs down to the end time. Whether we want to admit it, many of us have lived under spiritual Babylon, under that influence. Under the Medo-Persians or the Grecians or Catholicism, Baptist, Methodist, whatever we term to call it. It's the Gentile kingdoms of the world. How many of us were plagued by Trinitarian baptism or by legalism of Pentecost or whatever more? We had to be liberated. Oh, glory. What was it that would liberate us? A beast. That was so diverse from all the rest. It would not be a reformer. It would not be an educator or a theologian. It would be an eagle. With a message. That would call us out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we know. Nebuchadnezzar was not the only one that worked under this beast's power in his day. What good would it do if he was the only one? He had to have an army to fight. So they moved under that anointing. What good would it have done for Darius the Mede to have been the only one under that anointing? One man cannot conquer the world. Not in a natural sense. So the anointing came not only to the king, but to the people. Alexander the Great was not the only one to work under that anointing. But it must come under the people of his dominion. Lord, help us to see the Messianic Empire. It's not one man being the Messiah, the Son of God, but it's the whole empire being full of Messiahs. Hallelujah. Lord, we'll admit that the first age worked under the anointing of the lion, of the ox, of the man. Why is it the message folks get so mad whenever we tell them, Brother Branham isn't the only one going to work under the anointing of the eagle? The whole bride must be. He's the only one that'll be the major prophet of the day, certainly. But not only did Brother Branham need that anointing, we need it too. Hallelujah. I refuse to let these message people rob me of my influence. I refuse for them to tell me I cannot soar in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I refuse for them to tell me I'm held down here in a message barnyard somewhere. I can't hear from heaven. I can't hear the voice of God speak to me as I'm in my prayer closet. I refuse to listen to their lies when they tell me you're not the same yesterday, today, and forever. I must also work under that anointing, Lord. The bride of Christ must work under that anointing, Lord Jesus. That anointing does not come as some magic spell that's put on us as we listen to Brother Branham's tapes, as that's what headquarters would want us to believe. But Lord God, it comes by us being identified in that written word and finding our name in that book of life, and you release the anointing upon us that we can see our part in the revelation. Oh, grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would wave your eagle wings in the presence of Jehovah. I wish somebody would lift your wings in the presence of your Father. And stir up a little dust around here. Hallelujah. Let this anointing quicken your mortal body. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm tired, I'm wore out. But let this anointing quicken your arms to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I looked in the vision. I saw beasts great and strong. I saw powers released that would be through ages long. They would destroy and devour and kill on this earth. But then I saw a little rock. Oh, I said I saw a little rock. For hundreds of years they have reigned. Thousands of lives have been paid. Here we are in the end time of the book. The little horn soon will rise. But before it does, I'll split the eastern sky. Cause there's another power in the earth. It's the Messiah's domain. He rules it and He reigns. Jehovah El Shaddai. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Jireh. El El Elyon Shaddai. It's the Messiah. His power's on this earth reigning tonight. He's Jehovah Shalom. He is the way back home. He's Jehovah Jireh, my God. He reigns tonight. I saw seven spirits and seven eyes they issued forth. A new dominion on this earth, a dominion of peace. It will take away all the kingdoms of this world. On the day of Pentecost, here come the Messiah coming down. The Messianic Empire. For 2,000 years he's reigned by the Holy Ghost the same. Now he's getting his bride ready to take her home. It's a Messianic Empire. He rules it by the pillar of fire. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's right building tonight. It's a messianic empire. Oh, he rules it by the pillar of fire. The mighty God, he's right here in this building tonight.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Four death messengers cut it down, the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar, down to the ground. And Satan thought, now I've destroyed it. Once and for all. But somehow the devil had a senior moment. He forgot what Joel said. All right! I will restore. So he started with justification. Then he moved to sanctification. Then he came with the restoration of the gifts and set it on fire. Oh, he came with the Pentecostal move. He came with speaking in tongues. But then he set the eyes in the body, which will make it move. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High.
whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And they shall take away his dominion. Who? The little horn. He's that old boogeyman, you know. He's going to huff and puff and blow your little house down. But he's going to, after he's huffing and puffing, he's going to find out it ain't little Red Riding Hood in this house. Glory! It's a bride washed in red bloody word. Glory to God! They shall take away his dominion to consume, destroy it. Can't you see, friends, what a victory God is doing every day in our lives? This is still, he still has a claim on this. But by the indwelling Holy Ghost, we're taking his dominion. But Brother Donnie, I make mistakes. And tell me, what do you do when you make them? Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. So what do you do? Even in your mistakes, you go right back and take it right back away from him. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Can't you see? You cannot lose. You are the people of the vision. So has it been written, so let it be done. Well, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice from heaven saying, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you was looking with the natural eye and you look at this horrific beast, a lion, big wings, great big muscular type of beast. Then you look over and see a bear, blood on his teeth, ribs in his mouth, big claws. You look over and see a leopard with wings on his back. And then you'd see this beast that was so different. He was just so different. And then grace, number five. You'd be carried up before the throne. And you'd see this lamb hacked to pieces. Blood running all over him. And if you was looking, you'd think, which one would you choose, naturally speaking, to influence your life? The leopard, the lion, the eagle, or the lamb? Naturally, we wouldn't choose the lamb. That's why he put a seed in you to help you. Mama didn't know it, and Daddy didn't either. Mama was 18 when I was born, Daddy was 17. They didn't know it. But when this little boy, Donald Lee Reagan Jr., was born about 8 or so, on July the 9th, 1956, I got a piece of the rock.
Lord! What about you? What about you, church?
You know what it's been doing? It's been growing. It wasn't an instant mountain, Brother David. It wasn't an instant kingdom. It's still growing tonight. Still growing. Aren't you glad? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray I was able to make sense out of it so they could understand it. Not that I'm so deep and so profound, but just hopefully I could take all of it and be able to put it together in a way that they could be able to understand it and comprehend it. I want you to know, sir, I am so honored to be a part of your empire. No doubt if I'd been in the Babylonian Empire, I'd have been a slave. I'd have been out in the stables, mucking the horses. The Medo-Persians, I'd have probably been killed, or who knows what I'd have been. The Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. But in this one, I stand right at the foot of the cross. And you look at me, Lord Jesus, and you're not ashamed to call me your brother. There has never been a dominion like this. That the emperor himself makes kings
But of all those that are in his body, every other king would consider it a threat, but not this king. Because there's not one jealous bone in his body. There's no envy, no strife. It's love, forgiveness. And he wants to share his kingdom. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bring us back in the morning, Lord, if it be pleasing to you. Go with your children now, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Oh, can't you just see it in your heart? One day it'll move. The final thing will move. And God will bring us all together. And we'll head to that dimension. To the marriage supper. Finally, the kingdom will have moved to the final phase. The hearts of men have been changed. Now the kingdom can change. You see, the kingdom of heaven cannot come upon the earth till the men of the earth have been changed. And even though we're small in number, but we're the tithing of the earth, so the tithing is accepted for the whole thing. You pay your tithes, and then with God's blessing, that you give 10% and you keep the 90, and God promises, I'll bless that 90. I'll bless it. I promise you, I'll bless it. So God takes the tithing from the earth in the rapture, and he tells the earth, I'm taking my tithes from you, earth, but you're going to be redeemed too. And because men's hearts have been changed, the kingdom can now be changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I kept you a little. No, no. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I am not sorry. If you're sorry, that's a few. There is absolutely nothing you could do any more important than that. Being in the house of God and hearing his word. Moving under this anointing that will change you. Whether or not you understand it, you have set under the influence of the fourth personage of Jesus Christ tonight. The voice of many waters. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it together. Amazing grace. Go in the fear of God. I love you so much. I'll just be so glad when we all gather there. We'll be beyond all the tiredness and, you know, going here and going there and do this, that, and other. Just, I mean, I don't understand it. Sometimes I sit and try to figure out what will we do for 100 billion years? And that's just the introduction. I mean, what in the world are we going to do? I don't have no idea. But I imagine it's going to be so great. Won't it? And how will we get there? Amazing grace. I love you. God bless you. The sound that saved a wretch like me.